to talk to you today about quitting. Anybody ever quit anything in your life? Good stuff? You ever just gave up? The biggest trials going on in your life, you ever just give up? Well, you wouldn't be here if you gave up, right? If you got your Bibles, open up to Ephesians 3:6. Today I'm going to talk to you about time to quit. There's a time for everything, but there's a time to quit. Number one, quit doubting God's plan in your life. Quit doubting God's plan in your life, for your life. You have to understand, when you're in this race, it's not necessarily about you. It's about Jesus. And sometimes we want to be popular. Sometimes we want to get, you know, be big time influencers and things like that. But, you know, it's best to just kind of, I wouldn't say go under the radar, but just make Jesus famous in your life. It's time to quit. It's really not about you. It's about Jesus. It's about him. It's about the King of Kings. It says in Ephesians 3:6, it says, "And this is God's plan. Both Gentiles and Jews who believe the good news share equally in the riches inherited by God's children. Both are part of the same body and both enjoy the promise of blessings because they belong to Christ Jesus." Jews and Gentiles coming together as one and making up the body of Christ share equal in all things. You know, God doesn't treat us like that. What's that saying? The redheaded stepchild. If you redheads inherit, don't take offense to that. That's just a saying that we used to have. But they were some of the toughest people. God doesn't treat you like that. He doesn't say, you know what, to my children, the children of Israel, who I sent my son, Jesus, to preach the good news to, and the Gentiles that are coming into the, not, you guys don't get this. You're going to get half of what they get. No, we share together in all good things when it comes to the good news of God, of Jesus Christ. God does not favor one over the other. The same blood that has cleansed the Jews from all sin cleansed the Gentiles as well. The same resurrection power that raised Jesus from the dead and now lives in Jews and who accepted Jesus now live in the Gentiles that have accepted and received Jesus as their Lord and Savior. The same promises that were made available to everyone. Is available to us. In 1 Corinthians 1:24, it says, "But to those called by God to salvation, both Jews and Gentiles, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. This foolish plan of God is wiser than the wisest of human plans, and God's weakness is stronger than the greatest of human strength." Many people believe that Jesus dying on the cross was a sign of defeat rather than victory. Unbelievers. They look at that as a sign of defeat. Satan thought he had Jesus. He thought he won. But that wasn't the case. God had a different plan on how he was to restore the throne. Jesus came into the world a different way. He stepped on the scene, not as this huge dictator. During that time when Jesus was born, there was a king, King Herod, however you want to say it. I say Herod. But here's the thing. I said King Herod was a ruthless king. He was a ruthless king. I mean, he killed his own wife. He killed some of his own children because he was so insecure in who he was as a ruler. He thought people were coming after his throne. So he started lopping them off. Which gets us to the place that when Jesus was born, that's why you have the massacre of the innocents. It's what they call the babies. Everybody under the age of 2. All the boys, all the males. Kill them. Jesus wasn't an insecure king. He humbled himself and became an obedient server. Servant. Jesus demonstrated true humility and grace when he dealt with people. Many will look at the plan of God and say, why? Why this way? Why did Jesus have to die for us? Why couldn't, when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, okay, start all over. Kill Satan, we're good. Just get rid of the enemy. He can't influence anyone else. He can't deceive anyone else. Kill it off. That wasn't God's plan. That's how I would have thought. And man, that'd be easy. God doesn't do things the easy way. You know that. We want easy things in life. God doesn't do it the easy way. Why would you go? God, I never would think that way. It says the foolish plans of God are wiser than the wisest of human plans. The foolishness. We may not understand God's plan or his way completely, but what he requires from you and I is so to fully trust in him and his word. We can go through life and just get to flowing into things and rarely ever take into consideration God's ways. It's easier to just kind of go about your day and just roll. And then, you know what? I didn't really take any time to just acknowledge him. It's easy to do that. And sometimes we want to skip over the character development of our lives and stuff, and because that word that starts with T, we don't want to go through it. That trial. That trial will bring us character. If you're in a trial right now in your life and you feel yourself being pulled away from God, then something else or someone else has your attention other than him. That trial that we go through is to draw us closer to him, not away from. And if you feel yourself pulling away from God, I would encourage you, get it out the way. Time to quit that mess and get right back into the presence of God. There's nothing ever that can ever satisfy being in the presence of God. There's nothing that can take the place of being in the presence of God. God is the one who protects us. See, when we're abiding in the shadow of the Almighty, we're able to be protected and we're also able to grow. Have you ever seen some trees, not every tree, not every grass or what have you, some of them have grass, but if you see in some trees, around the tree is kind of bare around it. Why? Because there's no sun hitting it. But when we're abiding in the shadow of the Almighty, I said, it doesn't stunt our growth. God doesn't stunt our spiritual growth. But sometimes when we're in the shadow of other people, they can stunt our growth. You're trying to be protected by other people. When you're protected by God, you're not ever going to stunt your, he's not ever going to stunt your growth. You're going to continue to learn. You're going to continue to develop your character. Your spiritual walk is going to get stronger because he's teaching you these things and you're growing from it. We all want to grow, not outwardly, but just inwardly in that sense. I'm done growing. I should be 6'9 with my weight. His foolish plans is wiser than the wisest of human plans, and his weakness is stronger than the greatest of human strength. So turn to your neighbor and say, hey, it's time to quit. It's time to quit. Time to quit being afraid of being different. I don't want to be a holy roller. I don't want to be on the corners dancing. Y'all remember Pablo out there dancing? I mean, just, it'd be fun to watch, man. Sometimes people be honking at me and it's green, go. And I'm sitting over here watching him just dancing, man. He didn't have a care in his world, man. He was just gone. But he wasn't afraid to be different. We can't be afraid to be different. We can't be afraid to be bold. We can't be afraid to talk about Jesus and it just shames you. We can't be different. As we talked earlier about Jesus, even though Jesus is the King of Kings, he didn't operate like other kings. Other kings were full of themselves, sinful, despised God. They believed they were their own God and they were untouchable. They were insecure. In Philippians 2, it says this, 2:5 says, let this same attitude and purpose and humbled mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Let him be your example in humility. If it were not possible for us to be like Jesus, Paul would not have said this. This is something that we need to strive for, to be just like Jesus. As we're allowing the Word of God to transform us from the inside out and changing our lives, we have that opportunity to continue to be just like Jesus. He never got it wrong. Have you ever been in class? Don't raise your hand to this. But you ever cheated on a test? Now, honestly, if you know how to cheat and you've been there and you've done it, you're not going to go to the dumbest one in the class. You're not going to look on their answer, their sheet and be like, okay, what do you got? Dude. Now, this is just a little sidebar. I had a teammate on our team, and we were doing this health and human performance type, filling out our height, our weight, and everything else. And then Kristen, were we dating at the time? No, I don't think we were dating. She wasn't eyeballing me just yet. But, he went home to be with the Lord a few years ago, died in a car crash overseas playing, you know, at playing basketball. But he was another character, man. I mean, so we have to fill in our own weight, our own height, all that stuff, personal stuff. And then he looks at Kristen. Now, that Kristen is down. Kristen was very smart, and she was telling him. He goes, hey, let me copy yours. He's 7 foot. Kristen is 5'11". Let me copy off your paper. Tyler, you just fill in your height and your weight. I know that. Let me just copy off your paper. Sure. Here you go. You know, put down what you want, you know. If you're 5'11", go right ahead, you know. But that's the thing. I said, so if you ever cheated before, you know you're going to go to the one who knows the answer, who has the answer, who is ahead of the class, who's excelling at it, who is passing. You know if they have that integrity, they won't show you. But understand, you're trying to copy off. Listen, Jesus is the answer. He says, learn from me. He's the only one that defeated the enemy. He's the only one that walked a sinless life. He's the only one that walked with the authority that Adam should have had. Adam, this is how you do it. Watch, Adam. Or actually, he was in Abraham's bosom. But watch, Adam. Watch what you should have done. This is how you should have did it. And he's saying we can learn this humility. We can learn how to be just like Jesus. He's the one that never missed a question, never missed a test. He knew more than the substitute teacher that tried to fail him. Satan. Satan was a terrible teacher and a terrible God. Even though Satan tried to fail him, tried to kill him, tried to destroy his reputation, put him in a grave, and what seemed like defeat for Jesus was just actually a victory. He thought he had him. Death couldn't hold him down. God's plan was wiser than humans. But here's the thing. You don't have to cheat. He gives you the answer. He says, let Christ be your example. How he did it, you do it. Come learn the unforced rhythms of grace. In Matthew 11:28, I believe is the message. Come learn the unforced rhythms of grace. How I did it, you do it. How I rest, you rest. How I walked in this authority, you walk in it. How I dealt with people, you deal with them. How I dealt with religious leaders, you deal with that. Do what I do. Jesus saying, not what I do. Some people will say, don't do as I do, just do as I say do. Quit being afraid of being different. In verse 6, it says, who although being essentially one with God and in the form of God, possessing the fullness of the attributes which make God, did not think this equality with God was a thing to be eagerly grasped or retained. When you truly know who you are in Christ and follow the examples of Jesus, serving others won't ever be a problem for you. If you have a problem with serving in the community, serving in the church, serving in your home, serving anywhere, if you have a problem with serving, you have a problem with your identity. You got an identity crisis if you have a problem with serving. because he humbled himself and he became a servant. He set aside that deity that he had, that he was living in. He could have been, yeah, you guys all serve me like all the other kings. No. He became lowly. He became a servant. So if you're ever having that struggle, man, why am I having a hard time serving my husband, serving my wife? Why am I having a hard time doing this, serving other people in the church and in the community? Why am I having a, take a look deep inside and be like, okay, God, I need to get this dealt with. Because I shouldn't have this, because you abide on the inside of me. Verse 7 says, but stripped himself of all privileges and rightful dignity, so as to assume the guise of a servant slave, in that he became like man and was born a human being. So although Jesus was God, he laid aside his deity and became a servant. He was thinking of all mankind because he's showing us how to live this life. Jesus won in this life, even though it looked like a defeat. When people may get the best of you and what have you, it may look like you're losing, but in actuality, you are winning. He says, if they did it to me, they're going to do it to you. Then he says, to count it all joy when you face various trials. When everybody's coming against you and you're just smiling, what is he smiling about? Why is he so happy? I just gave him my best shot and he's still smiling. She's still laughing. She's still dancing. She's lifting her hands while they worship. They're still going out and doing good to other people and what have you. I said, why are they still doing? I gave him my best shot. You got Jesus living on the inside of you. You know, it talks about the fiery darts of the enemy, the fiery arrows of the enemy. You got that shield of faith. And then I watch some of the movies where those darts, you know, some of those old gladiator movies or what have you. And man, when they got that shield and those arrows are being shot and they got their shield up and stuff, then they can take their sword and just knock all those arrows off. It won't hurt you. It doesn't matter how much. I said, when it hurts you is when you take that shield off, take that breastplate off. You take all the stuff that God has given you to defend against the enemy, and you allow it to penetrate. You allow it to go over and over and over again in your mind, and then it becomes self-imploding. Jesus chose the unpopular route. He chose to do things different. He could have stepped on the scene being like Thor, man. If you like your Marvel, he didn't come with a big old cape and stuff like that, and his hammer, his scepters that he was going to rule with and what have you, and talking about, you know, physically speaking, but he didn't do it. He humbled himself and became a servant. He had to learn like you learn. He grew in wisdom. He grew in stature and favor with God and with man. It took time for him to get to that place. So from the age of 2 to the age of 12, you don't hear much about him. From the age of 12 to the age of 30, you don't hear much about him. He was growing. He was submitted. He was learning. He was doing the very things that we do today. And he's saying, learn from me. How can we go out into the field without the Holy Spirit? John the Baptist baptized him. Jesus says, beloved, this is my son who I am well pleased. And then the Holy Spirit leads him right out into the wilderness to be tempted by the evil one. And how do you overcome the enemy? Every time he was tempted, 3 times he was tempted, 3 times he used the word of God. And yet sometimes we run to people, we run to this over here, we say that over there, and then yet Jesus went to the scripture in the word of God. The enemy fled. How he did it? We do it. But I don't like saying that stuff. I don't like confession. I don't like believing in that. Do I have to be like that? Yes, if you want to win. People aren't going to like what you say. That's okay. The enemy doesn't like the truth of God's word. He doesn't like the name of Jesus. He doesn't like the fact that you believe in him. So if people are yielded to that and they don't like you saying the name of Jesus, tough. Who gives a rip? You say it anyway. Because this is your life you're talking about. This is your children's life. This is your marriage. This is your family. This is what God has given you. He had to learn just like you. So if you can, everyone else can. It takes time. In verse 8, and after he had appeared in human form, he abased and humbled himself still further and carried his obedience to the extreme of death, even the death of the cross. Jesus didn't resist those who were trying to kill him when it was time for him to go and die for all of mankind. He resisted them beforehand, but not when he was in the garden, when he was getting ready to be arrested. But look at what happens when he humbles himself yet again in verse 9. It says, therefore, because he stooped so low, God has highly exalted him and has freely bestowed on him the name that is above every name. He humbled himself. God rewarded Jesus for being obedient to death. Now, nobody may not be wanting to kill you off. But if you can humble yourself every single day to the point of God, I'm going to do your will, not mine, yours. I kill my plans right here. I'm going to do your will. Just a little side note. Randy, do you have any crops right now going? And didn't you say you have some crops that didn't, or seed that didn't come up or something like that before? Is it in this season now? Bring your crops, the first fruits, here, and use that as your tithe. And God will bless your land. Oh, God bless you. William, you got crops too? Bring your first fruit. Here. Not money. Your crops. Why? Because you want to expand. You want to grow. We'll take money up until then. No, people are, I'm going to start farming now. Who else is a farmer in here? Okay. All right. I know Vicky has her own garden and stuff too. Remember, God's rewards are going to be far greater than any reward that we can ever think for ourselves. We have to trust him. The name that conquers all other names, the name Jesus. The name that makes demons flee. The name that drives out all sickness and disease. The name that solidifies your prayer requests. There's healing in the name of Jesus. There's forgiveness in the name of Jesus. There's salvation in the name of Jesus. There's deliverance in the name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's restoration in the name of Jesus. In verse 10, says that in the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, must bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue frankly and openly confess and acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now, that doesn't mean that everybody's going to be saved just because they confess, because you have to confess and believe. Every tongue. Jesus was not afraid of being different. He was not afraid. He didn't go off of the phrase, the birds of a feather flock together. He didn't have a problem rebuking religious leaders. He didn't have a problem doing that. He stood for righteousness, and if there were religious leaders that needed to be corrected, he did it. It's not about being cool. I know sometimes I can appear cool, but Kristen will tell you at the house, I'm a nerd. I'm dorky. I like to break dance sometimes and get on my sweatsuit and break dance and, just show them that I still got it. They make fun of me getting up off the couch because I got to kick my legs up and lean back, and I got stuff in my hand. I just can't do that. Mark chapter 10 says this. So Jesus called them together and said, you know that the rulers in this world lord it over their people, and officials flaunt their authority over those under them. But among you, it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must be the slave of everyone else. For even so, even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. If you want to be different where you're at, serve others. Become a servant. Stay an extra 5 minutes off the clock and help some of your leaders at work. Show up 5 to 10 minutes early. Not to sit in your car and scroll on TikTok until it's time to go into work, but to go and help your leaders. Okay, go inside. Volunteer some of your time to help out the younger generation. Not just your own, which is greatly important because you got to look out for your own. You got to take care of your family. But those who fathers may not be in their lives, volunteer. I always think it's one of the coolest things, man, to see a dad take care of another man because their dad didn't show up in their life and they took care of them as their own. That's some of the coolest things I've ever, I mean, it's awesome. See, when you are constantly giving into others, it can seem like you are being drained. Man, all I've been doing is giving and giving and just giving and giving, and nobody's ever giving me back. I said, but this is the thing. This is where you do. You got to get connected back to the main source. Jesus gave, and he gave. I mean, people were drawing the power out from him. Where did he go? He went off and spent time with the Father. We got to do that. See, when our phones is on 1%, what do? Some people don't even wait till they get 1%. I mean, it's like 70% and they're charging it up already. They're ready to go full. This stays on a charger. Where they're in the car, it's on a charger. If the charger dies, I mean, it just don't work anymore. I mean, it's all junk. You throw it away. You just let the phone die and just forget about it? No, you get out and you get online. You start looking for those 10-foot cords. Am I lying? Seriously. Or we'll go to the convenience store. They got those. Go to Walmart or go to Next, what have you. I said, you'll go to every place that has those chargers because your phone needs to be charged. But the thing is, so do you. So every single time you charge your phone, you need to charge yourself up. You can give all you want, but you got to get connected back to the main source. But when you start using some of them chargers, I'm talking about the rinky-dink ones because you want to save a few dollars because sometimes they can get pricey. You know good and well those chargers are going to last for about a week. Why? Because you got a knockoff. You didn't get the lightning cable. But when we start feeling those things that we give, and then we start filling that time that we're supposed to spend with God in the presence of God with other things, then we end up getting burnt out ourselves. It may work for a little bit, but after a while, you're going to be like, man, I'm just so drained. So if you got to take time out away from people, and just get right back into the presence of God again. Do it. Give yourself permission. You don't always, I mean, you give, but you got to stay connected so that you can give some more and be around those that can pour into you as well. Don't be like that knockoff charger. Those things, you can watch shows all the time. You could be on social media, you know, and people down. They downplay social media a lot, and I get it because we can spend a lot of time, but How many of you read newspapers? Magazines. Watch the news. Not only do you read it, you watch the news, and it's every hour on the hour, and you watch it before you go to bed. You know what's bedtime for me when I was growing up? MASH. Come on at 10 o'clock. Anybody like MASH? We will rebuke the devil out of you. No, I knew that was bedtime for me. Dun, 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 dun. Dun, 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 dun. Dad's sitting up there watching it, man. I was like, all right, cool. It wasn't for me. I was a Remington Steel guy. That's the only channel I got. Had the paper clip in the back of the cable. Yeah. See, when you are constantly giving into others, it can seem like you're being drained, okay? We got to make sure that we're charging up. We're charging up. You can't fill yourself up with the things of this world and expect not to be burnt out. So here's the thing. Stay connected. You're going to quit? What was the first thing on there? Quit doubting God's plan. And quit being afraid of being different. It's okay to be different. It's okay to be weird. It's not weird, it's unique. You're just unique. Everybody's unique in their own way. You're different. It's called living stones for a reason. You realize there's no two smooth, river stones that is the same, river rock. None of them are the same. Everyone's different, and there's millions of them. I watched a video about snowflakes. Somebody was looking at snowflakes. I said, every single snowflake was different. God doesn't want us being the same. We're cut from the same cloth as far as Jesus and the authority of the power, but we're different. Dustin don't look as good as me. I'm just playing. Don't be afraid of being different. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I was reading about redwood trees and stuff and how they only grow so deep. They grow about 3 or 4 feet deep, I believe, in the soil. But what they end up doing is their roots grow out. And then they could intertwine with the other trees. So that when big winds come, it doesn't fall over because they're connected. You got to stay connected to God, and you got to stay connected to your families. You got to stay connected to the people that are around you that God has put around you. You got to stay connected. It's tough. Sometimes you want to just lop them off. Here's the thing. You do that if the Lord tells you to, and it could be for a season. Because the Bible does say stay away from them, certain people. You do that. You don't want to just make it, well, I just don't like that person. Why? Because, they're a Chiefs fan. I don't like seeing that red and yellow. So I'm going to just stay away from them. They're a Chiefs fan, and they're done. Although I would back you up, that's not in the word. So I don't like Chiefs fans. I'm just kidding. I win too much. But as a church family, he wants us to be intertwined with each other, connected. Don't forget your fruits, first fruits. Bring them. Just like they did in Scripture. Father God, we thank you for today. We thank you for all you've done. And Lord, you are so awesome. You are so good, Father God. And help us to live out the life that you have called for us. Lord, give us discernment on what we are supposed to do when it comes to those relationships, those tough relationships in our lives, Lord. For us to continue to walk in love with those. We thank you for our families. We thank you for our friends. We thank you for this church body. And Lord, I thank you for just being the head of our life. And we just give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. If there's anyone here who's never, ever received Jesus Christ to be their Lord and Savior, and you want to do that today, raise your hand real quick and we'll pray with you. Well, God bless you. Let's stand. Let's stand. If you can, interlock with the person that you're with right now. Just arms. Yes. Y'all know, what was that game way back in the day? Red Rover. That's what it was called? You know, I was saying the wrong words. So. I said, people can't break that. If you have hands and stuff like that together, they can probably break through it, but when you interlock with your arms, they can't. So you and your family's got to interlock. You got to interlock. Amen? Amen. All right. You all free to go. God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv. Or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.